Welcome to another episode of Mr. Jeffrion's World History Podcast. This is episode 20, and today we will be talking about the Americas and Oceania. After listening to the podcast, you may have questions or you may be confused. If this happens to you, don't worry. You have the ability to submit your questions to the show, and I will be glad to answer them. Questions can be asked two ways. You can call the show's Google Voice number, 321-804-APWH, or submit your name and question to the show's email, mrjeffrion@gmail.com. While Asia, Europe, and Africa were expanding and growing both economically and socially, America and the Oceania remained isolated. Of course, in 1492, Columbus would sail the ocean blue, but who lived on the Americas before that? In addition, how did their society run if they had no contact with the other side of the world? Following the fall of Teotihuacan, the Toltecs emerged during the 9th and 10th century. The Toltecs were originally from northwest Mexico, but they settled in Tula. Tula would not only be the Toltecs' capital city, but it would also be the center of trade. Between 950 CE and 1150 CE, the Toltecs had their greatest success. Their population in the city was 60,000 people, who were surrounded by another 60,000 people who lived in the outskirts. Those who lived in the outskirts were subjugated by those who lived in the city. Internal problems, along with nomadic invaders, would lead to the decline of the Toltecs. A civil strife would occur in Tula during the year 1125. 50 years later, the nomadic tribes would take over. The Mexica were one of the tribes which migrated into the area during the mid-13th century. The Mexica was comprised of warriors and raiders who would kidnap women and seize cultivated land. During 1348, the Mexica settled in Tenochtitlan, which would later become modern-day Mexico City. The Mexica created their own agricultural techniques known as chinampas. Chinampas were dredged soil from lakes that would be used to create fertile plots of land. Chinampas had the ability to grow 7 crops a year. By the 15th century, Mexico was known as a tributary empire. The Mexica conquered Texcoco, which was located in southwestern Mexico. Following this conquering, the Mexica created an alliance with Texcoco and Tlacopan. This alliance would turn the Mexica into what we know them today, the Aztecs. As the Aztecs, the population would hit 12 million people. The Aztec civilization was run using local administrators who would oppress others with tribute obligations. There were a total of 489 different territories that would send tribute to Tenochtitlan. None of these territories were able to have an army. The Mexica had a hierarchical social structure. Soldiers were at the top of this social hierarchy and were given many privileges. For example, they were given both land grants and food. Most of the Aztec soldiers were from the aristocratic class. Even on the other side of the world, patriarchy existed. The Aztec placed a large emphasis on childbearing. This was because they saw the mothers as women carrying a future soldier. People would even celebrate women who died in childbirth, giving them the same honors as a soldier who died in battle. Overall, women were not given a role in public affairs, but they were very active in crafts and commerce. Priests were also members of the elite. Priests had mastered the agricultural and ritual calendars. The roles of priests were to read omens and advise rulers. Some priests even became the ruler. The majority of the society was composed of cultivators and slaves. The cultivators were the ones who worked on the chinampas, usually on the land of the aristocrat, and they were the ones to pay tribute for the public works. Slaves, on the other hand, worked as domestic servants. Slaves were either debtors or children who had to be sold into slavery. The Mexica had a religion which was based on prior Mesoamerican cultures. This can be seen in the case of the Mexica deities. The deities Tezcatlipoca and Quetzalcoatl were important deities before the Mexica even arrived. The most important god to the Aztec was Huitzilopochtli. In honor of Huitzilopochtli, the Aztecs would perform human sacrifices. The victims of sacrifices were usually criminals or captured enemy soldiers. More often than not, though, they were Mexica themselves. Before they were killed, victims had the tip of their fingers torn off to symbolize ritual wounds. Tezcatlipoca's name meant the smoking mirror. He was the god in charge of life and death, in addition to being the patron god of warriors. Quetzalcoatl's name meant the feathered serpent. He was in charge of crafts, arts, and agriculture. Huitzilopochtli was the patron of Mexica. The Aztecs had a 365-day calendar as well as a 260-day ritual calendar. The Puebla and Navajo societies resided in Southwest America. They were both largely into agricultural practices. For example, maize made up 80% of their diet. During 700 CE, the Pueblos and Navajos created permanent stone or adobe dwellings, 125 of which have been discovered. In the woodlands of East Mississippi, the Iroquois people settled. The five Iroquois nations emerged from the Owasco Society during 1400 CE. The mound-building peoples, who were found in eastern North America, built large, enormous earthen mounds, which were used in burials and ceremonies. The largest of these mounds can be found in Kaukaukia, Illinois. During the 12th century, there were a total of 15,000 to 30,000 people living in Kaukaukia society. The mound-building people did not have any written records. However, their burial sites reveal they had both social classes and trade. Lack of written record in South America would also make it difficult to decipher the societies found in South America. Before the Inca Empire, there were the Chucuito. The Chucuito were a regional kingdom found at Lake Titicaca. Lake Titicaca was on the border of modern-day Peru and Bolivia. The people of Chucuito practiced potato cultivation, llama and alpaca herding. There were also the Chimú, who resided on the Peruvian coast. The capital was Chanchan, which was filled with brick building. They created elaborate irrigation techniques to grow both maize and sweet potatoes. The Inca first settled in the valley of Cusco. The Inca were people who spoke the Quichua language. During the mid-13th century, the Inca settled around Lake Titicaca. Their first ruler was Pachacuti, who ruled from 1438 through 1471. Under Pachacuti's rule, the Incan Empire expanded to modern-day Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia, Chile, and Argentina. By the end of the large-scale colonization, the Incan Empire was 4,000 kilometers from north to south. The Incan population reached 1.5 million. The Incans ruled through both a military and administrative elite. As the Incans colonized, they would hold hostages. Although the Incans did not have a written language, they kept track of events using quipu, which was a system of cords and knots. The Incan capital was Cusco, which had 300,000 people by the late 15th century. The residents included priests, hostages, and people of high nobility. The large empire was connected through extensive road systems and runners who would carry messages who were composed of the Quichan language. There were two north-south roads, each 10,000 miles long. The Incan government limited trade. The Incan society was a hereditary aristocracy. The Incan chief was believed to be a descendant from the sun, therefore he owned everything on earth. Ancestors were worshipped by the Incas. Those who passed away were preserved in a mummified form. Ancestors were consulted and given offerings and parades. The aristocrats were given special privileges such as fine foods, embroidered clothes, and ear spools. The priests were very influential figures and were said to live celibate and ascetic lives, dedicated to serving the gods. Incan gods included Intri, the venerated sun god, and Viracocha, the creator god. Sacrifices occurred, but they were never human sacrifices. The Incan religion strongly believed in morality. There were both rewards and punishments. Any sins were seen as disruptions of the divine order. Incan priests worked the land, and a portion of what they produced had to be given to the state. They were organized into groups, known as Ailu. We are now going to leave the Western world and travel to Oceania. Australia was composed of small groups of nomadic foragers who did not take up agriculture. During migrations, tribes would exchange surplus food and small items. Small items included pearly oyster shells, spears, and boomerangs. Groups on the north coast had limited contact with the mariners of New Guinea. The Aboriginal culture had myths and stories which were much related to the geographical features. To ensure continuing food supply, the nomads would perform different rituals. In the early centuries BCE, the Pacific Island societies were established. The different island groups would trade amongst one another, such as trade between Tonga, Fiji, and Samoa. The Polynesian mariners would take long voyages, even reaching South America and bringing back the sweet potato. The sweet potato would become the new staple crop in Polynesia. In 300 CE, a group of Polynesian mariners settled on Easter Island. During the early centuries CE, 12th and 13th century, voyages to the Hawaiian Islands occurred, and settlements began. Due to an increase of farming and fishing, populations began to grow on all of the larger Pacific Islands. During the late 18th century, Hawaii would have 500,000 people. As populations grew, social classes formed. Social classes were composed of high chiefs, lesser chiefs, commoners, artisans, and peasants. Empires began to form on the islands. For example, Hawaii became centralized under powerful chiefs. The high chiefs of Hawaii are known as Ali'i Nui. Chiefs had the power to allocate land and organize military forces. Polynesians saw priests as intermediaries between gods and humans. Gods of agriculture and war were common in Oceania societies. There were many religious temples built. This includes the Marae Mahatea, which is a pyramid for religious rituals in Tahiti. Well, that wraps up episode 20. Tune in next time. This has been Mr. Jeffrey on's World History Podcast.